already have a time advantage, and that time advantage is going to only solidify the kind of, shall I say, invested effort in keeping these trade routes as those important for us. In any case, the quantum of trade we do with Pakistan is not very high. And therefore, the port there will at best be of transshipment importance and not of direct trade importance.
Now, last but not least, Mr. Cherryom, some experts have suggested that India's slow progress in developing the Chabahar port has created uncertainty, leading Iran to consider forming a consortium with other countries. So what do you think can be the reason for this delay on India's part, and how do you think the situation could be resolved?
Since I haven't studied this and what the current state of investments, progress, what the delays are, this is not an area that I'm going to comment on. All I can say is that India's commitment may seem that it's not moving at the pace it should. But that having been said, those are endogenous factors. And I think the basic philosophy and strategy remains consistent with what we've promised. And I'm sure that this will only be, I would call, a blip in the horizon. And we shouldn't worry too much about it.
There you have it, political analyst Mr. Dilip Cherryom from New Delhi. Thank you for being on the program, sir. Now, let's see what people have to say on social media.
Groucho Marx tweeted, "Congrats, India, on setting up a trade route between Iran, Russia, China, and your brilliant move. May it multiply in all aspects to all your interests, your partners, and may it increase. And add more member states just to irritate the Uncle Sams of that Orionish planet in Ozone Zombie." Lakshman Sagar said, "India and Iran are in talks over long-term usage contract of the Chabahar port. The port gives India sea and land access to Afghanistan and Central Asia, bypassing Pakistan, and also acts as a gateway to the east and west of the Caspian Sea as part of the international north-south transit corridor." Economic Times tweeted, "Indian Minister of Ports, Shipping and Waterways, Sarbanand Sonowal, has recently stated that India and Iran are in talks regarding the terms of the primary contract for the extended usage of Chabahar port." Ashok Swain says, "Under Manmohan Singh, India had planned Chabahar port in Iran to counter China-controlled Gwadar port in Pakistan. In 2018, Iran invited China and Pakistan to join Chabahar port project, and now Iran is going to supply electricity to Gwadar port."
And that was our episode about the recent visit of the German Chancellor to India and also Iran-India relations and the significance of Chabahar port. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take good care.
In the limelight.
Since the beginning of 2023, the Zionist regime has killed 68 Palestinians, arrested no less than 1,000 Palestinians, demolished 58 homes, and its settlers have committed more than 330 terrorist attacks as part of a systematic policy to harm the Palestinians. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Tehran Times noted, in a speech delivered before the 52nd Human Rights Council on behalf of the Arab countries, the permanent representative of the State of Qatar to the United Nations office in Geneva, Hend Al-Mofta, said that the Zionist regime occupation has committed grave violations, war crimes, crimes against humanity and apartheid against the Palestinians. And it continues to enact discriminatory laws and arbitrary declarations for the expansion of illegal colonial settlements in occupied Palestine in flagrant violation of international laws. She emphasized that since the beginning of the current year, the Zionist regime has killed 68 Palestinians, arrested no less than 1,000 Palestinians, demolished 58 homes, and its settlers have committed more than 330 terrorist attacks as part of a systematic policy to harm the Palestinians. She expressed deep concern about the continuing portrayal of equal obligations between the occupying regime and the occupied regime in international reports, calling on the international community to assume its responsibilities, take all necessary measures for accountability and justice in the face of those violations, and end the racist Israeli regime occupation. Meanwhile, Wafa reported a Palestinian boy, identified as Amir Mamun Odeh, 16, was shot in the chest and killed by the Zionist regime army during confrontations in Galgilia in the north of the West Bank, according to the Ministry of Health. It said Odeh was shot in the chest and critically wounded at the northern entrance to the city. He was rushed to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead a few hours later. Also on March 10th, three people sustained gunshot injuries as the Zionist regime forces quelled an anti-settlement rally in Kafar Qaddoum town, east of Galgilia, according to local sources. They said that heavily armed Israeli troops opened fire towards the participants in the weekly Friday anti-settlement rally, causing gunshot injuries to three and leading to dozens of suffocation cases. All the suffocation cases were treated at the scene. Participants in the rally also called for reopening the town's road that has been blocked for 19 years. Also, Wafa News Agency reported an Israeli settler shot and killed a Palestinian young man to the east of the northern occupied West Bank city of Al-Ghalia, according to the health ministry. The ministry confirmed that the Zionist settlers gunned down Abdul Karim Badi Sheikh, 21, a resident of Saniriya town, south of the city, outside the colonial settlement of Ma'al Shumran. Following the killing, the Zionist regime troops barged their way into Saniriya town and ransacked several houses, including the family house of a slain Abdul Karim. Established in 1980, Ma'al Shomron is one of at least five colonial settlements and three outposts that surround and overlook Wadi Ghana Nature Reserve in northern West Bank. The Zionist regime occupation forces detained a child from Al-Khalil recently in south of the West Bank and beat him up, according to local sources. They said that the occupation forces detained the child, Abdul Karim Shahin, claiming he threw stones at Zionist settlers in Tal Romeida neighborhood and took him to one of its military posts before releasing him at a later time. After his release, Shahin said that the occupation forces detained him for several hours, beating him and calling him obscene words before releasing him.
Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sadarbat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atah, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of the last savior and the need for the savior. What are the promises of the savior and how salvation is reached through belief in the last savior? Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you. According to the Shiite beliefs and the Shiite theology, Imam As, Imam al-Mahdi, is considered to be the last savior, not only for the Muslims, but for the whole world. And the people, especially the Shiite Isna Ashari, or the 12 Shiite Imams, Muslims, are waiting, or it's better to say, awaiting for the reappearance of Imam As. What is the need for the last savior in this world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is not specific to the Muslim, we can say, community. It is in all beliefs that everyone is waiting for the last savior. The reason is that the old religious texts and even the, the other religions who do not belong to the Abrahamic religion, they also have in their text that there is a last savior who will come and who will fill this world with justice. And the oppression and the corruption that we will see in this world will end a day.
Yes.
And that is the main concept. That's why we see the concept of Messiah,
in the
world. Messiah. There is the Antichrist for the Jews.
Yes.
In the Islam, we have the concept of, Imam Mahdi.
Mahdism or Mahdaviyat.
Yes.
Mahdaviyat, Mahdism.
And obviously the Christians, they're waiting for their own prophet, the Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So basically this concept exists in the world amongst the people.
Yes.
And this was there. And it was obviously backed by the narrations and the things that we have For example, chapter Nur, verse number 55 in the Quran, talks about the concept of Mahdaviyat,
mm-hmm.
talks about the Mahdaviyat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill this world with the peace as it was filled with the corruption. So, and he will give the leadership of this world in the hands who will fill this world with the adl, with the justice. Okay. So this concept is there. On the other hand, when we talk about the Shiaism, yes, Shias are waiting for the Imam Mahdi, whereas yes. in the Sunni school of thought, they are waiting for his birth.
Uh-huh.
They both believe in Imam Mahdi because this has been narrated in the narrations okay. by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all believe in Mahdi as the last savior who will come and who
yes.
will obviously fill this world with the justice.
So sorry, in the Sunni traditions, in contrast to the Shia ones, Imam al-Mahdi is not born yet.
Well,
so
yes.
who will be the father and the mother? I mean,
the point is the narration itself. It says he is from Banu Hashim. He is Hashimi. On the other hand, because the Shias are connected to the 12 Imam,
okay,
and not the Khilafah, you mm-hmm. know the concept they have.
Yes, yes.
So we have this chain, the sequence that every okay. Imam should be born from the Imam before it, and Imam Mahdi, since he is the son of Imam Hasan Askari, and we are connected to this chain.
Okay.
That's why we believe that he's been born.
I know, but in the Sunni tradition, well. This son is going to be born from whom?
From
the
Sayyid family. Uh-huh. It should be from okay. a Sayyid family, from Hashim. They have this in their narrations.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And some of the Sunni, they say he is from the descendants of Imam Hassan, alayhi salam. And they bring their own proofs.
Okay.
We're not going into that.
Yes.
The main point is, what is the need of the Savior?
Yes.
The need is because there is a corruption, because
yes.
this world... There are many arrogant powers mm-hmm. who are trying to take over the world, and they know these traditions as well.
Okay, that's right.
They are aware of that, therefore, right. obviously.
Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, and one important question is that is always asked, how is it possible for a person to be living such a long life till now, more than 1,000 years? The Shiite Muslims believe that he is alive, but he is passing life in major occultation, Ghaibat al-Kubra, but he is alive. How is it possible according to the human history?
Yes, first of all, we should know that prior to the last savior, I mean Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we have some prophets. They lived more than Imam Mahdi's life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we believe that Prophet Idris is alive, Prophet Isa alayhi salam is alive, Prophet Khizr,
mm-hmm.
they are all alive.
Okay.
And so for a Muslim, it is not a very, for example, difficult issue to believe in, because in Islamic teachings we see that the other prophets are also alive. Even for the Jews, for the Christians, it is something accepted that some of the prophets are living alive. But when it comes to, you know, we can look at this issue from two different perspectives, three actually different perspectives. From religious perspective, it is solved because we see that we have some
examples in the history.
From the rational perspective or from philosophical perspective, it is not something impossible rationally for a mankind or for a creature to live more than other people,
yes.
more than other creatures. Rationally, philosophically, it will not lead to contradiction that we say that, okay, it is impossible. There is essential impossibilities over
yes.
there. No. From the scientific yes. perspective, according to the scientists, again, it is not impossible for a man or for example, a living thing to live, for example, more than what normally people lives. It
okay.
is not something impossible, neither in terms of religion, nor in terms of science, nor in terms of philosophy and reason. So it is possible. Then for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of the whole universe, it is very much easy, it's very much simple to prolong, for example, life of someone because he has this power. And of course, when it comes to the very each and every details about the life of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, of course we do not know that much things that how is he living, because there's no actually direct communication or connection with the Imam in the occultation and the major occultation. So, but the point that I can mention is that there is no impossibility for his life or for his existence. It is possible. That's why if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to save the people this way by the last savior, it is something reasonable and that's rational. Right.
Okay, so in this way, Imam As is a character that is not only limited to the Islamic world or the Shiite world. So he will be a savior for the whole world. But for saving what? I mean, the main question is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human beings in this world. He has shown them Islam, prophethood, and teachings, the Holy Quran and the narrations. So, are the people are going to be saved from, for example, the traps of the Satan in this world? So what would be the need to the next world if they are going to reach salvation in this world? Okay, what is the need at all?
Well, obviously, the Savior, when we say the Savior, we look from one perspective, mm-hmm. generally. Whereas it has two perspectives. Saving the body, the material world of these people, and the spiritual world as well. It is the duty of the prophets to take people towards the perfection. You know, mankind has not reached the perfection yet.
Okay.
Whereas the book, which is the Quran, which was the last book, it is the last book. It will remain till the day of judgment, till the resurrection day. And obviously, people has to reach to that point. There should be a point where, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, makes an argument, he proves that okay. This is like that.
That's right.
Therefore, one of the reasons is that why it is necessary for the Savior to come is to take people towards the perfection, towards the salvation, we can say. And that is one of the duties that he has to perform. The other thing is to bring justice to this world.
Okay.
To bring justice. You know, if even you look at the movies that we see, mm-hmm. if there is no hero,
yes.
we don't accept the movie.
Yes.
Even if the hero comes and he cannot bring the justice to the end of the movie,
yes.
you know, you do not give stars to that movie.
The protagonist and antagonist, yes. they call it.
So that's basically,
like the main plot of this, the story.
This is something inside human beings, and okay. it was gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we want justice. We are looking for the right thing. And it cannot, like the world, with this kind of, you know, we can say corruption, mm-hmm. with this kind of you know, pollution that it has, and the, you know, injustice that it has, all of these things, there should be a day where these okay. all things should end. So that is one thing. The other right. thing, which is main, that is the teachings, the concept of why Allah has sent these prophets.
Yes,
it was all to take us towards perfection.
Okay.
Because in Quran, Allah has said many times that He is the most merciful, the beneficent, and when He has created something, He didn't leave us on our own.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to reach to the place where He wants.
Yes.
And therefore, it is necessary that He provides all those means that will help us to reach to that level, to reach that goal. And the prophets were sent because of that. And after that, the imamate, the system of yes. imamate was under the same concept. And it is the duty of the last imam when he comes. Therefore, nothing will be hidden in the earth. You know, yes. the treasures that are dug in the earth, people will know, people will reach to a level of knowledge and science which they couldn't even imagine.
Okay.
So Imam Mahdi's, you know, occultation, we can say like reappearance after the occultation,
yes.
it is not something, there is also a doubt like amongst the people that will we go back to the dark age when Imam will come
mm-hmm.
without electricity and all those.
Okay.
No, this is not the case.
Okay.
The human beings at that time will reach to the peak of the science, the peak of advancements, the peak of modernization. But obviously, with the modernization, the advancements, which will take us towards the actual goal, and that is to become perfect.
Okay. So, and all the people will be perfected on that time? Or no, there is still... Because at the time of the other infallible imams, there were so many people who believed in them, still so many others who did not believe in him. So, and the imam of the time was martyred. This imam is going to be martyred again? Some believe in him, some not?
Yes, obviously, according to the narrations that we have, obviously, there is no force. Mm-hmm. The Islam does not force people to believe in something. But the imam will come and he will open the eyes of the people. Most of the people will follow his path.
Mm-hmm.
and they will reach to the, you know, the perfection and salvation. But still, there are people, because the satanic and the evil powers are there. And this is a challenge between the evil power and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, according to the nations, we have that he will be martyred as well. And maybe he will be poisoned by someone. Yes. So we have these narrations as well. And it tells us that the battle of basically the good and bad, it will remain. And it will end by his martyrdom.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of the last savior and the need to this concept in today's world and in this world. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here is a thought-provoking saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the salvation for mankind in the end times. The world will not come to an end until a man from my progeny and of my name shall be master of the world. When you see a green ensign coming from the direction of Khorasan, then join them, for the Imam of God will be with the standards and will be called Mahdi.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Son of Abdullah, 2.
Moses and Jesus endured many difficulties on the path of propagating their messages. They promised the people about the advent of a man from among the descendants of Abraham. The New Testament clearly promises the arrival of a prophet after Christ. An example of this can be seen in the Gospel of John. Shortly before the advent of Christ, Roman oppression was continuously increasing. More and more innocent people were crucified every day, and the poor were made even poorer through forced taxes. In such conditions, a man called John, from the shores of the Jordanian River, claimed prophecy. He kindled both doubt and hope in the hearts of the Jews of his time. Perhaps they wondered whether he was Messiah. The prophet foretold to end pain and tragedy. On the same day, Jewish leaders sent a group of Levites to John to investigate the matter.
Who are you?
John confessed. He did not deny. He answered,
I am not the Messiah.
Who are you then?
Are you Elijah?
No, I'm not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then tell us who you are.
We have to take an answer back to those
when
who sent
us. When Prophet John replied that he was not Messiah, Elijah, or the promised prophet, the delegates, who were considering the new prophet to be one of these three, asked him in wonder.
If you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?
I baptize with water. But among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I am not good enough even to untie his sandals.
John's gospel contains a marvelous secret within it. This secret, which reveals itself exclusively to those possessing wisdom and intellect, promises the advent of another prophet after Jesus. It speaks of a messenger for whom everyone is waiting. When Christ embarked upon his three-year-long mission, a great disagreement occurred among people.
And whoever believes in me should drink. As the scripture says, streams of life-giving water will pour out from his side.
This man is really the prophet! The Messiah will not come from Galilee!
Many people said that he was the Messiah promised by the Bible. However, others did not agree to this and said that perhaps he was the foretold prophet. What we can understand from John's gospel is that apart from Elijah, two other people must also come to mankind. One is the Messiah, and the other is, for the lack of a better title, the prophet. But where is the prophet, who according to John's gospel must come and has yet to come?
All the Christianity believe in the genuineness of Prophet Muhammad. I mean, believe that he was a prophet or not.
I do not know for all of Christianity. I have no doubt. I have no doubt myself. He is a prophet, and spoke the word of God with great love and kindness and beauty.
Yes,
the prophet is a simple. The prophet is a human being. Human being, not God. He's a human being that he had great faith, a maximum of the faith, and he was in contact with God when he was alive. Mm-hmm. And he passed the messages of God to the people.
Will Durant writes, according to the documents discovered on the shores of the Dead Sea, people were awaiting the foretold prophet, whose appearance, along with that of the Messiah, was promised. But who is this prophet, and from where does he originate? In order to answer this question, we will have to go back and investigate his characteristics, as found in the Old Testament. According to the Old Testament, Moses saved the children of Israel from the Egyptians' bondage and made them cross the sea. He guided them during the course of 40 years of wandering in the Sinai Desert until they reached the banks of the Jordanian River. Nevertheless, the Israelites continued their lives as nomads. For this reason, Moses gathered them all and said, God told me, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all, that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The Bible only recognizes the children of Ishmael as the brethren of the Israelites. Hence, the foretold prophet must have been raised among the brethren of the Israelites. He must have been given a book like that of Moses, and he must have come with a religious law like that of Moses. The question stands, to which prophet can all these qualities be attributed? Priest James Dow writes in the Collins Dictionary of the Bible, the only personality for whom the forecast of Torah can fit is Muhammad, because he is the only person who resembles Moses and has a book and a religious law. The prophets came one after the other and guided humanity towards the truth. Every prophet promised his followers about the advent of the last messenger of God. Muhammad, about whom the Puranas had promised, the second sociant of the Zoroastrians, a prophet from Arabia, the last avatar riding on a horse, the prophet resembling Moses, and the descendant of the brethren of the Israelites, and the prophet mentioned in John's Gospel. Who is he? In which land was he raised? In which era did he render as true the promise of all the prophets before him? After centuries of denial and defiance by the unbelievers, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, titled as Ahmad, the seal of all prophets, from the house of Ishmael, appeared in the land of the Arabs to guide mankind, so that man may not remain in the darkness of ignorance. And now, on the threshold of another millennium, man continues the path of his predecessors in the persecution of the propagators of the message of God, those who decapitated Prophet John, put the cross on the shoulders of Christ, and mounted the Crusades, are once again continuing with their blasphemous persecution of the last prophet of God. They fed their ancient grudge they despised the sacred, and driven to despair, they set fire to the truth and tried desperately to injure the prophet.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaam Alaikum, welcome. This is today's special, and we're going to speak about how to use leisure time.
Salaamu Alaikum.
Today, Monday, is the 20th of Sha'ban, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we listen to chapter Al-Mu'minun, verses 3 and 4.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون.
And they who turn away from ill speech.
والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون.
And they who are observant of zakah.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
As great interpreters of the Quran have said, every action and speech that does not carry a significant benefit is vain. Some of other interpreters have rendered vanity as nullity, and others have interpreted it as sins on the whole. Some have interpreted it as cursing or using bad language, others as profane singing, frivolity and play, while yet others have interpreted it as polytheism. Of course, vanity does not only mean idle talk and deeds, but it also means idle, futile, and baseless thoughts that result in neglecting Allah, the Almighty.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong and right. Love that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone.
do you use your leisure time? We have a party here. We all want free time. And when we get it, we don't know what to do with it. Free time is something that we are always after, trying to dream of and plan for. Whenever we get free time, we want to do things that we always wanted to do. But when we do get the free time, we see that a lot of people just get bored. They just don't know what to do with all the time that they have. In fact, they get into trouble when they have free time. It has been shown in many places, wherever there is free time, people get in trouble, and that's what's happening nowadays. We have a lot of free time on our hand, and a lot of people don't know what to do with it, how to utilize it. And as a believer, we need to find out what is the advice of the Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt regarding free time. Why do we have it? What is the purpose behind it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the Islamic principles for leisure time. The next principle that we are going to talk about is avoiding limiting one's leisure time to entertainment. Leisure time is not synonymous with entertainment, and the ways defined for spending the time are not limited to entertainment only. A variety of ways have been recommended for people to spend their leisure time. In Islamic culture, leisure time is regarded as a part of one's lifetime which bears huge significance and should not be spent solely by entertainment, but it should be planned for comprehensively and be spent in a variety of ways. Now, it's the time to get well versed and to get familiar with what leisure time means in Quranic and Hadithi perspective. We must refer to Quranic verses and Islamic hadith in order to shed light on the necessity and status of leisure time in Islamic teachings. Keeping in mind, though, we have already referred to some, but now we are going to actually focus a little bit more. Keeping in mind that leisure time and its management are closely linked with the level of material facilities and are relative in terms of time and space, Islamic teachings and precepts could not outline all possible states of leisure time and its management, because Islamic precepts and the instructions given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the school of Ahlul Bayt determine universal principles, fundamental indexes, and the extent of action. Except for special cases, they do not enter into details. Islamic teachings require human beings to not lose any chance for acquiring knowledge and to start a new job after finishing one. The execution of this instruction requires human beings to have plans in their life and always move towards the main target.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
searching about benefits of leisure time, we reach to the benefits of being present. The ability to be present in the moment is a skill that can be learned and practiced. Being present has many benefits, including reducing stress, improving communication, and increasing focus. When we are present, we are not dwelling on the past or worrying about the future. Instead, we are focused on the here and now. This allows us to be in control of our thoughts and emotions. We can choose how to react to the situation at hand rather than being controlled by our thoughts and emotions. Being present also allows us to be more aware of our surroundings. As a result, we can pay attention to the people and things around us, which can improve communication and help us build a stronger relationship. About ways successful people spend their free time. We can learn about classes. Yes, they take classes. Education shouldn't stop at college and shouldn't be restricted to institutions. The most successful people in the world are the ones who make a commitment to never stop learning. They're always incorporating new skills for their resumes and learning new aspects of the world around them. Instructional courses aren't particularly difficult to find either, especially in the modern era. Many local colleges offer courses for free, and you can pursue local forums or gatherings to find impromptu group workshops. And don't underestimate the value of free online courses. If you have a free hour and an internet connection, you can start learning new skills.
There's really nothing we can do to control time. Even the word time management, when we say time management is a misnomer because you can't manage time. The only thing you can manage is yourself. Nobody has more than 24 hours in a day. There's not a person on this earth that has 27 or 28 hours in a day. Someone who's very special or very lucky in that regard. And so there's very limited time. And so when your time comes to pass from this realm to another, there's nothing really that you can do in order to prevent that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ If their ajal, and some translate this word ajal into doom. If their doom is imminent, if it's impending, there's nothing that you can do in order to extend or even to hasten it. Which is interesting because if you think of the loss of life, you would think, well, most people when they're faced with this reality, they want to extend it. They want a few more hours, a few more days, a few more moments. But there are people that are on the other side. That life becomes so painful for them that they don't want it. They don't want to live for another month. They don't want to live for another week. They don't want to live for another day. They want their life to be taken away from them right now. And this state is called imminent doom or impending doom. Sometimes even when emergency responders, when they arrive to a scene of an accident, some of them are trained to deal with a situation called imminent doom, where they know that nothing that they can do for this patient is going to extend their life. There's nothing that they can do. For instance, they know that they're about to fall into cardiac arrest, or that they're losing so much blood that there's nothing that you can do for this person. Imminent doom, imminent death. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.